people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And folks, we have some really important. This next hour is going to be so critical for us to get a hold of this. Israel right now is in a battle for its soul, but the soul of Israel is so interlinked and connected to the soul of America. Because of the biblical Judeo-Christian, where our laws come from, where our structure comes from, the walk through, man, if you really want to understand so much of this, I would encourage you to get this Founder's Bible. This is David Barton, the Founder's Bible. And he walks through so much and connects the dots between how our founding fathers came to the conclusions that they did in creating the laws they created, the three branches of government, the constitutional republic, and it's all connected to scripture, which is why they are working so diligently to destroy all of that. And my next guest has been helping us to understand the significant issues associated with it and what's going on in Israel. And so, David, welcome, first of all, Dr. David Wormser. David, welcome. Good to have you back. I'm so glad that we could do this morning. And I appreciate you giving me the updates that you send me with regards to the things that are happening in Israel, because they are so incredibly important in relationship to the battle that we're fighting here in our country against a very, you know, evil deep state. I mean, and however you want to label them, but we're fighting that battle here. They're just ahead of us. And you made an interesting comment to me in the green room, and I'd like you to run with that for just a minute about how what we're seeing in Israel right now, the left's in Israel's absolute refusal to acknowledge Netanyahu Bibi as the head of the country, to honor their oaths and their commitments. You talked last time about pilots who said, we're not going to fly him where he needs to go. We won't get on the plane. We won't fulfill our oath. We won't defend the nation of Israel against its enemies in a show of solidarity against the person the people elected. But you drew a correlation to that, you know, if Trump, and you said it, and I agree with you, I believe Donald Trump did win the 2020 election. I believe that there was fraud, and that only by that fraud do we have, you know, the tyrannical entity sitting in D.C. right now that we have. And really a puppet, but that's another story. Talk to me about this radical left.
Sure. Well, let me take you back to November 2020. Imagine for a moment that between 2008 and 2016, President Obama had managed to appoint all nine justices of the Supreme Court, and that he appointed all justices that passed through the radical wing of his party. So they weren't old school liberals. They were all from the progressive wing, essentially. So imagine if the Supreme Court were controlled by nine people. And then President Trump's elected in 2016, and he finds that virtually every decision he made, including things that have nothing to do with rule of law, the Constitution, are overturned. Immigration policy, everything became the purview of the court and second-guessed him and undermined him on everything and said, you can't do that. So now let's go to reality, November 2020. Imagine that court being there in November 2020, and the Election Commission, let's say for a second, the Election Commission had declared Trump the victory. We saw what the left was going to do. They were going to burn the country down. They said they would. If everybody goes back to that election eve, all the cities were under high alert because they expected riots. And there was no way the left was going to accept Trump's election. Now imagine if the Supreme Court were controlled by nine progressives and Trump were elected. And Trump there was no way to deny that he was elected.
Right.
So at that point, what you'd see is riots in the street with the Supreme Court essentially saying, we are the rule of law. The army has to answer to the rule of law. The police has to answer to the rule of law, which means the police, the army, everybody has to answer to the Supreme Court, controlled by the radicals, not to the president of the United States.
Well, and to remind folks, David, just to add to what you're saying, remember that was basically the same threat that was in existence in 2012 during for the re-election, right, of Barack Obama. I mean the Black Panthers and other organizations had flat out said that if Barack Obama does not win, if they were saying that the only way Barack Obama loses is if you steal the election from us, and if you steal the election from us, there will be blood on the streets. You had Al Sharpton with his National Action Now, and they gave us a preview of what they intended to do in Dallas when they murdered six police officers at a BLM rally.
Yeah, so what you have here is, imagine the situation. In other words, this threat here is not over. If, for example, President Biden had gotten his way and the radicals had gotten their way and packed the court, expanded it to 11 appointed justices and made it majority, even slight majority progressive, and done away with the filibuster and so forth, you can imagine where we would be. This is still a chapter ahead of us. We're still going to face this problem. But this is Israel. The difference between Israel and the United States, now reality.
Yes.
This difference between Israel and the United States right now is that the Supreme Court in Israel is entirely controlled by progressives, the squad, essentially. And the police force and the army, the top levels, not the rank and file, the top levels are controlled by the progressives because they have been appointed over years to run the military. So you have the military, the police, and you have the Supreme Court all run by progressives. And yet the people still elected a right-leaning government. So that's the only difference with the United States, is that the Supreme Court here is under conservative control. So,
and we still relatively have three entities of government, which does make a difference because in Israel, you don't have those same kinds of balance of power controls as you shared with us the last time you were with us.
And most importantly is the Israelis don't have states. It's one country with one structure of government all the way down. Local authorities, but they don't have the authority that states here have. So you don't have a Governor DeSantis or a Kristi Noem or anybody like that who will stand up and then go to the Supreme Court because the Supreme Court is still respected as a neutral institution. In Israel, it's seen to be a political actor on behalf of the radical left. So that's the situation in Israel. So what happens? The right-wing government basically says, listen, this is intolerable. This is not democracy anymore. This is a tyranny of the courts, a tyranny of the radical progressive courts who don't even follow law. They don't base any of their decisions on law. They have this idea called the reasonability doctrine. So their judgment of any affair is based on reasonability. All the Supreme Court has to say is, we don't believe that's a reasonable decision. That's it. They don't even have to give a legal interpretation of why the law should be struck down. So essentially, the right has said this is intolerable. We need to bring more diversity to the court, not in our sense of diversity, but simply they cannot all be squad members. The political echelon of Israel has to have some say over who actually is the justice, because the courts in Israel reappoint themselves, essentially. There is no real structure for the sitting government to appoint judges. So that's one thing they said. The second thing is you can't just decide. If you decide the flavor of ice cream served down the street is wrong, that's not justiciable. You can't bring that to court. That's not a legal question. Supreme Court in Israel says everything's a legal question. Then they said you can't, the right says the other reform we're going to do is if you want to challenge something in the Supreme Court, you have to have standing. Namely, you have to have skin in the game. Somebody who was affected by this decision has to challenge this law, for example. And Israel, there's no standing. Anybody can bring a case to the court, and the court has to hear it. So what's happened is hundreds of international organizations, by the UN, by the European Union, China, whoever, comes and they've set up all their little non-governmental organizations in Israel, and they are just constantly, every day, swarming the courts with appeals, challenges, all with the desire to shut down Israel's security services, shut down the functioning of the government, shut down any Israeli security activity, because the Supreme Court has decided it even has the right to decide on operational questions done by the military as they're ongoing. So if a soldier is raiding a house and he has to think, do I go to the room on the left or the room on the right? Technically, the Supreme Court can make that decision. So there are lawyers embedded in Israeli army units all over the place because of stuff like that. So standing, justiciability, diversity of the court, those are all things that, and the elimination of the reasonability doctrine, so that legal decisions, legislative review has to be anchored actually to laws and precedents. Those are the reforms.
Right.
Those are the reforms. There's one other that says if the Supreme Court goes off the rails, the parliament can still override them. In other words, they can appeal a judicial review. And if there's 61 seats, which is Israel has 120 seats in its parliament. So if it's a simple majority, they can overrule the legislative overrule. In other words, the courts can rule, the parliament can overrule that. Now, that's a little bit tricky.
Yes.
In terms of democracy, but all the rest of them are reforms that reinforce the democratic character.
Well, the challenge, you know, to that last one is the same challenge that, you know, that we were concerned about here, right? When they were wanting McConnell to use the quote unquote, you know, nuclear weapon, right? Where yeah. In the Senate would, you know, start doing things outside of appointments with a simple majority vote or what have you. You know, the danger when you make those kinds of moves is now the left says, okay. And so they begin to move in and work on getting to that 61 so that now they have the controls there. I mean, exactly. We've watched it. This is their MO.
Right. So I'm not really all that keen on that one. And the truth is what the right in Israel has already said is that's the one reform they're willing to easily give up on.
Sure.
So because it is the only one that you could say, well, what happens if the parliament decides to vote that they will abolish the vote? And that's it. They're permanent. So the right is willing to give up on that, but not really the other things, because those other things. Israel now is a country where essentially if you're a right-wing government, you have no power. You are an advisory council to the Supreme Court who will decide what you can and cannot do on virtually every issue, from striking Iran to building a house in Jerusalem to putting a traffic light somewhere in the country. They have the right to decide everything. If they don't like it, all they have to say is, we don't think that's reasonable. So essentially, Israel is now essentially emerging as a leftist tyranny of the courts. and there's an attempt to correct it, and you can imagine the reaction of the left, who controls the country, to this, which is basically burn it down. So some of the leaders tell you who you're dealing with. One is Ehud Barak, the former prime minister, who is a visitor to Epstein's sex island, has been there. He's seen to be one of the closest associates, in fact, to Maxwell. What is it?
Ghislaine Maxwell.
And Epstein. So we're dealing with a man of great moral fiber, apparently. And he has declared that Israel is a dictatorship and that the military must revolt against the government. In most countries, that's called a call for a military coup.
Yeah.
The second person who's involved is Yuval Harari, who's the guru of Klaus Schwab, who runs the Davos conference, the World Economic Forum. He's the guy. Klaus Schwab was the guy who said 3 weeks ago. He's got the German accent. He looks like Blofeld from James Bond movies. Acts like him, and he's the one who wants to redesign the world by this little clique in Davos. And he had a great speech the other day where he said, "We elites must control artificial intelligence. We have to." Because if we do not master artificial intelligence, then we will lose control of the societies we control. In other words, we elites may lose control of our societies.
Which he states they already have significant control of. This is control on steroids. And you know, this is why I guess I need to get this up on my blog as well, folks. I'm gaining the energy to do these things now, so pray for me. But there's on Rumble, there are two things called Countdown to 2030 Part 1, Countdown to 2030 Part 2. And David, they talk quite a bit. But Yuval Harari as well, folks, just a reminder, this is the guy who said we need to make humans into AI. We need to connect AI and humans by injecting into them these components. And, you know, and it's interesting because they want to use AI to control us. Elon Musk, on the other hand, is working on individual AI interfaces. Really, in his mind, the idea is he sees where this is going, and he wants to give each of us our own AI to defend us against this global AI. You can tie this to the banks, right, David? I mean, to the collapse of banking. It's an effort to flip currency. CCP is involved in this. This is all a part of the ESG and the DEI. It's all tied together, folks.
Well, you know, it's interesting. In Israel, on the right, they're tracking where the money's going. Well, first of all, tracking where some of the money's coming from. And sadly, I have to say, some of the money's coming from the United States government.
You bet.
These demonstrations and riots.
I'm sure.
But the second thing is, one of the things the left did is, you know, since they are so prevalent in the high-tech industry, they're all allied with Zuckerberg, you know, and so forth. And Yuval Harari, again, is one of the leaders of this uprising. Well, they said because Israel is heading toward this, quote, dictatorship, we're pulling all our money out. So they pulled their money out. Where did they put it? The Silicon Valley Bank.
Of course they did.
Now they're begging the Israeli government to save them, the very government they're trying to overthrow. I mean, so there is a God, that's clear. But
yes.
But beyond that.
And he's watching what they're doing, and they're failing at it.
But there's some on the right in Israel who are claiming that actually, because for 2-3 weeks, those who were involved with the bank already knew that the bank was going down and pulled their money out. So there's this general feeling among some on the right that these Israeli high techies were deliberately moving their bank money into that bank to try to save it. And they use the cover of the Israeli demonstrations to do it. So at any rate, I don't know if that's true, but the bottom line is Israel right now is facing the showdown that the United States almost faced in 2020, in November 2020, and will probably still face the next time a conservative is elected to the White House or both houses of Congress. So I think everybody should watch Israel extremely closely, because this is us coming very soon down the pike.
Well, it's, you know, I just see there's a brand new article up saying that U.S. regulators are going to back deposits at failed SVB and Signature Bank using insurance fund. The Biden administration is working to contain the fallout from the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, announcing they will back all deposits after the bank's historic fall on Friday. This is that bailout. Okay, now the insurance is $250,000, and I read some very insightful posts, and you can find them, by the way, on my Facebook page at facebook.com/doseghostman. That's Dose Ghostman. You're going to have to put that in, by the way, because Facebook is so severely shadow banning me that if you just try to find Pastor Greg on there, you won't find me. So you're going to have to go to facebook.com/doseghostman. But they talk about that the majority, I mean, the smart people who have the millions of dollars know where the insurance break is. And generally, they keep about $225,000 to $235,000 in each account, because they know the insurance break is at 250. So this mass panic that, oh my God, everybody's going to, no, they're not, because they know where the FDIC limits are. Okay. People who have millions of dollars are not dummies. That's how they got the millions of dollars. So don't worry about the millions of dollars, people, folks. At the end of the day, what this is really about is flipping the currency, and the fact that China, as I mentioned in the first hour, China and Russia, Putin and Xi, are in huge economic trouble. Their nations are failing. Why? Because communism and socialism is a failed program. It never works. They're failing. They are imploding. Russia doesn't have the money to fund a war. Everybody's over here going, well, we can't do a war because... No, we could, and they know that we could, and they know that we actually could make, because of American ingenuity, because we're such a brilliant people, we actually could do this. That's why they have to get us divided.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Communism is such a violation of human nature that it de-incentivizes the very behaviors you need for a successful economy and the production of wealth and the maintenance of freedom. And they can't give up on that. They keep going through reforms, 5-year reforms, 10 years reforms. But the bottom line is, if you don't have freedom, you don't have the other attributes of human character that are
and they and that's what they're trying to do here, is to quash freedom, quash liberty, okay, so that way the innovative people who have the knowledge and the skill set and so on, everybody's saying, oh, well, we don't have manufacturing, so we can't do this. Folks, there are empty manufacturing plants all over this country, and there are innovators. I know that there are a couple of individuals that I personally know who have started creating batteries here in the United States of America that put Tesla to shame. I know they're here, they're doing it. I was talking to them 2 years ago, and they were telling me what their plans were, and they're doing it. We can turn these empty factories around in a heartbeat start doing what we need to do. But we've got to break the bands of government. And it's and you know, David, when people say that, and I want to throw back to you, but when people say it's the U.S. government, I like to stop them and say, no, it's not. Because this is not what we have in Washington, D.C. is not our government. Can we please be clear? I am not anti-government. I am 100% in favor of a constitutional republic. and a government for the people, by the people, by consent of the people. I believe that there needs to be a small federal entity that is settling trade issues between states and providing for the defense of our nation as a whole. I believe in that.
You have to remember that the Washington elites believe that they are saving the country from itself. That beyond the Beltway, there are ignorant people, deplorables, who, God help us if they run the country. God help us if their election actually translated into power. So they see themselves as the guardians of America against the masses.
Yep.
Against the people, not a government of, for, and by the people, but against the people, because the people cannot be trusted with their freedom. They cannot be trusted to make the right choice because they are deplorables. That is the view of those in Washington. That is, by the way, the view of the elites in Israel. And that is the problem here. The left has become anti-liberal, anti-illiberal. They've become against democracy, against freedom, because they cannot win the public debate anymore. And they're afraid of the fact that the populations are rejecting them. They call it populism, trying to make that negative. When that doesn't stick, they start saying we're deplorables, et cetera, et cetera. But the bottom line is they do not trust the people of the United States. The Israeli elites didn't trust the Israeli people to deliver a government that is reasonable, and that therefore collectively the elites will tell us, sorry, America, your choices are unreasonable. So with all due respect to democracy, we will not respect your decision, and we will really run the country through the power we have in Washington against the will of the people. And I have heard bureaucrats in the State Department, for example, talk in those terms. I remember they didn't know my face, so they didn't know who I was. But we all had every morning to go to a reading room to read top secret material. We didn't have it at our desk. So I would sit there and I would overhear the cooler conversations, the water cooler conversations of these State Department bureaucrats. And this was the theme day in, day out, which is, oh, those horrible American people, they actually think Libya's bad. Well, you know, look, we've got to stop them from, we got to stop Bush yeah. from doing this. And we got to stop Cheney from doing that, because my God, you know, they and the American people, they just don't know what, I mean, they're just not sophisticated here.
Well, let me roll it forward to a mutual friend of ours who was a Trump appointee at the State Department and was actually sitting in a meeting where the department head said to them, any directions that you get from the White House, ignore.
Yes.
Do not do anything that the Trump White House tells you. And who was the oil guy that Trump put over the State Department to begin with?
Tillerson.
Yeah. Okay. Rex Tillerson. Yeah. So I mean, at the State Department under Trump, you had three warring entities. You had the Tillerson people, you had the establishment people, I forget what the third one was, but and then you had some Trump people that were trying. But even the Trump liaison to the State Department was not on Trump's team.
See, the problem is careers are managed. So people who come from Washington, even if they're conservatives, know that at the end of the day, they have to be, if they want to get a contract from some business to lobby the government, they cannot offend people in the cocktail parties. So they can't offend the State Department. It's all a closed system that validates itself. So
well, look at what's happening with that Alexander. What's the guy the Vander, whatever it is, the guy that was the supposedly the star witness in Trump's Ukraine impeachment.
Oh, Vindman.
Vindman, yeah. And look what's going on with him now. He's now been indicted. He's a criminal.
Yeah, it's a closed system that protects itself, enriches itself, and husbands its own power. And somebody like Trump comes who breaks the dishes and they just can't handle that. Not that I don't have some issues with Trump himself, but bottom line is what the reason for the hatred, the reason why they went after him is because he came and didn't play by their rules. He played by the rules that I was elected to do X. I promised X, I'll do X.
Right.
I promised Y, I'll do Y.
Yep.
And that's just not done. That's unheard of.
And I think we agree that for the most part, you know, 98% of the time, his policies were on track. He had now execution was an issue because there was a disconnect between, again, as we're just talking about, what he wanted to have happen. Tillerson had his own agenda. The establishment obviously had their own agenda. And when they found out that our friend was a Trump appointee, they drummed him out because of it, as they did with any Trump appointee and virtually any one of these departments and entities.
Yes. So what you see here is the left has structures of power that are unaccountable, unresponsive. They accept the verdict of elections only when it goes their way. Mm-hmm. They've become increasingly illiberal that they basically, if the elections don't go their way, then the American people are too deplorable to be listened to. And then they will burn the country down to deny the legitimacy of an election and the legitimacy of a government in place by that election in order to maintain their rule over Washington and through that the power of the country. So then you have the next level of problem, which is, well, they still want to call themselves democratic, not in the party sense, in the sense of believing in democracy, a republic, freedom, division of powers, etc. But in point of fact, this is where everybody has to read Orwell and the Animal Farm, his book, The Animal Farm.
Mm, yeah.
Which is, great you've book. Seen this play out now.
Yep. Oh, okay. David froze. I'm going to tell you, folks, they don't want you to hear this information.
You may.
You're breaking up, brother. You're breaking up. For some reason, it froze up on us again. So what I think I might do is we're going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, more with David Wormser. Folks, this is we're getting down into, understanding the evil that is taking place. And from a biblical perspective, there's a continual theme associated with this. Psalm 94 gives us the mandate. Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will stand for me against those who practice iniquity? Who will do that? This is what we're doing. And this is why, and man, I'm feeling so much better. But I'll tell you, that warfare praying that I did at the end of last hour is the reason why. And I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, there is a dark, very dark, wicked, and evil spiritual force that does not want this information going out. They don't want you to know this. They don't want you to see this. They don't want you to know how to target your prayers and how to send the arrows of God into the darkness and to wipe out and destroy the enemy. They don't want you to have a specific idea. Yuval Harari, I don't pray for the man to die. I pray for Yuval Harari to receive the full conviction. He's got enough knowledge. He knows what Torah is. He knows what the Bible actually says, and he's decided to reject it. And he may even have accepted a demonic spirit. I don't know for certain, but I can tell you this. The Word of God, no matter any of it, from Genesis to Revelation, the Word of God does not return void. And if that Word has been put into you, then the Word says that when you grow old, that you will return to it. That's our prayer. those that know the truth, that the truth will so penetrate and permeate their very being that it will burn up and destroy the lies that are coming out of their mouths and even bouncing around inside their heads. That needs to be our prayer. All right, David, we're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, again, the parallelism of what you just were talking about, this is, I think, something that's so important, because when there's a mirroring of the left in Israel and the left and what they're doing here in the United States. There's a mirroring. It's one and the same, that they're mirroring what we're seeing in Israel. And I think the kind of to wrap up the point of that is what we're seeing in Israel is the manifestation in action of what we would have seen here in the United States had Trump become the president. And in part, it's what we saw during the 4 years of Trump's presidency. Look at the riots of 2020 and what happened there. That was all about rejecting Trump and creating chaos. Look at Ashley Judd, wasn't it Ashley Judd? You had Madonna saying she was thinking about bombing the White House, literally on a stage in Washington D.C. making those kinds of statements. Secret Service should have been all over that. Okay, something should have been done about that. But guess what? Nothing happened. Think about that. All right, very quick break. When we come back, something that Rick Manning brought up this morning that I wanted to get your input on and I'd ask you about. Rick Manning was mentioning the CCP manipulating and working to destroy the Abrahamic Accord, the CCP working to isolate Israel by use of literally taking two very virile enemies in Saudi Arabia and Iran and helping them to see how they need to work together to destroy Israel, bottom line. All right, we'll be back. More Chosen Generation Radio coming up. I need to make sure and encourage you to support our sponsors. So very important. 972-PATRIOT. 972-PATRIOT is the number to call. PatriotMobile.com/chosen. Everybody uses a cell phone. Folks, we need to support the Christian conservative, constitutionally conservative phone company of Patriot Mobile. It's 972-PATRIOT. What can you do? Change your dollars and put them in the right direction. 972-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile. They have national and worldwide coverage. Coverage is not an issue. It's all about what they support. And then also for your health, CGRWellness.com. CGRWellness.com. I use Vibe, Resvante, Ultrashot, Flex, Omega 3, the apple cider vinegar gummies. These are the things that I personally use that have made a huge difference and continue to make me healthy. And then so that's CGRWellness.com. And then there's one other wellness product that I want to introduce to you, and it's at CGR4Life.com. CGR4Life.com. And this is a product, if you're dealing with things, they literally have clinical studies that are showing that it impacts MS, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Asperger's. As a matter of fact, a young boy, one of the testimonies is a young boy who had no ability to speak, 30 days on this product, and all of a sudden he is speaking in full sentences. Another individual who had been suffering with MS, all of it fully reversed because Dr. Christina Rahm has created this in the labs, a product that what it does is it literally cellularly at the quantum level changes the cells back to their proper structure. I can tell you, I've been on this stuff now since last Wednesday night. I am alert and awake through my entire show, no issues. I am alert and awake after my show, no issues. Okay? I'm just telling you, I'm personally experiencing this dramatic change. Will I continue with the vitamin regimen that I've been on? Absolutely. Because I'll tell you why. This is my personal blood work right here. Personal blood work. You see that A plus in the center? That's the last 6 months. And that is because I'm on these products. My doctor is blown away. He's like, what are you doing? I told him, this is what I'm doing. He said, well, all I can tell you is you've got A plus blood work. And for a guy that weighs 375 pounds, and 6'2", to have A-plus blood work, I get it all the time. Oh, you must have diabetes. Nope. Well, you must have, nope. Well, you got it, nope. My blood pressure's usually about one between 115 and 120 over between 71 and 80. I'm just telling you, I'm healthy like a horse, man. Okay, like a healthy horse. This is why. And now I'm catching my second wind. I'm finally, after 5.5 years, I'm beginning to be clear in my head. I know you've been watching my show. You go, wow, you've had a great conversation. Look, that's Holy Ghost. And I still Holy Ghost. But I'm telling you how I feel now. This is crazy good. I've got a massage therapist. She just started on this stuff about the same time. She just ordered hers. I was talking to her yesterday. She's like, this stuff is blowing my mind with what it's doing for me. I got my mom getting started on it, she said. I've got her clients. She's referring her clients to me. She said, I'm telling you, I've been looking for this stuff for years, she said. I've been looking for this stuff for years. I can't believe the difference. It's incredible. CGR, the number 4 life.com. CGR, the number 4 life.com. And then for your vitamin supplements, for these issues, CGRwellness.com. There is no greater poster child that you'll ever see than the one you're looking at right now. The accident that I've been through, given 3 to 6 months to live back in 2004. Wow. My gosh, folks, I am telling you. There's no bullshit here. I'm telling you, this stuff works. All right. I'm going to hit you with one spot, and then I'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner for over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product called UltraShot. This is a healthy alternative to the other heavily caffeinated energy drinks out on the market today, available at CGRwellness.com. UltraShot has 4 powerful blends to wake up your senses. 1 ounce of UltraShot, about 6 hours of clean energy for me with no jitters or crash at the end. UltraShot has 7 different B vitamins in its formula that work synergistically with each other. The mineral chromium, manganese, and vanadium are specifically selected for support cellular energy and healthy blood sugar levels. UltraShot also contains exotic herbals. UltraShot's available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a handy 1 ounce travel packet for life on the go. When I'm driving, I've got another 3 hours to go to get to my destination. I reach for an UltraShot. Thanks to UltraShot, I keep my focus and stay safe on the road. Get yours today at CGRwellness.com. Enter coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout to receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's CGRwellness.com, coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
All right, folks. Hey, sorry about that. I'm back. I'm just excited about this stuff and what it's doing. I really am. And I'm concerned about what's happening to our country. And God is the only way we're going to get rescued. But you are his hands. Okay? And so we have got to be engaged and occupying, and we need to know how to do it. We need to know when we're praying how to send the arrows. Where do we want the angels to go, and what do we want? That what are we asking that they be doing in this battle? God wants us to get engaged and get involved. All right, so David, this question came up this morning, or this comment came up this morning about the CCP and the isolation of Israel by using Saudi Arabia and Iran and actually convincing them basically to break the Abrahamic Accord and see Israel as the enemy. Talk to me about what you know about that.
Sure. Well, it starts with the UAE and Saudi Arabia have been drawing somewhat closer to China. Why? Because this administration, the Biden administration, essentially declared they were really after regime change in Saudi Arabia. They hated the Saudi regime so much, they went after them. And there's a number of reasons. One of their little darlings, Jamal Khashoggi, who was a Muslim Brotherhood activist who was working to destabilize Saudi Arabia, was also a journalist at the Washington Post. And the Saudis, in a really botched operation, brought him to their embassy and killed him. And they were caught. Because of that, the Saudi government is seen to be public enemy number one for the last 5 years by this crowd on the squad and so on and so forth, which really are the power brokers on Middle East policy in this administration. It's not a very centrist government when it comes to Middle East policy and the people who man it. The second thing about Saudi Arabia is obviously it's hydrocarbons, it's oil. They provide oil to the world. Well, you're evil because you're basically a hydrocarbons producer. So there's a real desire in this administration, a real dislike of the Saudis. And the Saudis are not dumb. They sense that. They took the 80, 90-year-old relationship with the United States for granted.
Right.
And all of a sudden, boom, they have an administration that's coming after them. So where do they go? China. They started reaching out to Russia a bit, but Russia got itself into that war and is not really that shining a beacon right now. Mm-hmm. But China is for them. They see China as the big winner of the war. So they're aligning with China against their arch enemy in the region who threatens them profoundly. That is Iran. So China has moved in with the UAE and Saudi Arabia and said, great. Mm-hmm. Now, China has a lot of relationships with Iran, so it does not want Iran and Saudi Arabia to go to war,
right?
And destroy their delicate position here, where they now are trying to really gain the alliance of both. So they signed an agreement. They forced the Saudis and the Iranians to form an agreement together to essentially lay aside their conflict. It won't work. The Saudis and the Iranians hate each other too much. But for the moment, the net effect of that is that the big thing in the Middle East now is the China brokered diplomatic structure rather than the Abraham Accords,
right?
Israeli-Saudi UAE alliance structure that was built to contain and to challenge Iran and carry water for the Western alliance. Mm-hmm. And that's key. That structure essentially allowed the United States to withdraw from the region and still have cover provided for its interests. So that obviously was a big thing the Chinese were trying to undo.
Right.
And so in that sense, what China's up to is to break apart the Abraham Accords. What is stunning is the American reaction to this. The American reaction to this by this administration was, oh, we knew about this. We knew about what China was doing. In fact, we are the ones who were encouraging China to do that. And we were the ones who were encouraging Saudi Arabia to align more closely with China because we love peace. And so anytime enemies in the region begin to talk to each other rather than shoot at each other. Well, we're for that. So that this is really us. We've done this. So we're claiming credit for the destruction of the alliance on which our interests were pinned. I called it diplomatic malpractice or strategic malpractice. This is, we're literally cheering on our own rejection. And of course, there the Israelis sitting off on the side, completely stunned at the same time that the European Union, Davos, and our administration is trying to create, you know, mass instability internally.
Well, so just to give us an example, let me play this. This is a clip from the Energy Secretary Granholm claiming the U.S. can learn from China on climate change. Watch this. Oh, it's going to do a commercial first.
Software engineer. There's a way up for anyone because there's something for everyone.
Hang on. We're not going to. I don't want to listen to that. How long is that going to be? I don't know. It's not giving me the timing. Hang on, David. Oh, here we go.
Very sensitive and has.
All right, here we go.
But I think China has done, has been very sensitive and has actually invested a lot in their solutions to achieve their goals. So we're hopeful that, you know, we can all learn from what China is doing, but the amount of money that they're investing in clean energy is actually, you know, encouraging.
Wow. Yeah. They're investing in coal. Now here's the irony. The irony of this is that we've been saying all along that you know, number one, the US's innovative ways now of using coal, we are using clean coal energy. It's cheap. Oh. And it keeps the prices down for the poor and for the fixed income and for the elderly and so on. It's a great way and is working wonderfully, or had been working wonderfully. Under Trump, we refired a number of the coal energy plants and we were seeing, you know, huge results and dividends from it. Under Biden, they've shut many of them back down again.
Yeah. And as opposed to China, which has massively, massively returned to coal, but it's not clean coal.
No. Oh, my gosh. No, the pollution. China is one of the most heavy polluted nations in the world. They produce, I mean, literally, folks, it's terribly, terribly bad. It's so bad that, as I understand it, in some cities, the people walking around literally, they wash their clothes and their clothes turn a dark color because of all of the coal byproducts that are in the air. I mean, it's horrid.
Look, at the end of the day, if you're serious about climate, you're going to deal with China because that's where the problem is. If everything that keeps bashing the West, which is really the best in terms of trying to find solutions, trying to be conscientious about treating its environment, the cleanliness of its waters, air, etc. If you really are concerned about that, then you recognize that the West is trying to do what it can do. But the big offender is China. And in as much as they've invested in clean energy, it's only so that they can export that and corner the market in the West so that they can find yet one more sector that the West is dependent on them for. Believe me, they're not going to shut down their coal plants. They're going to get us to shut down our coal plants and buy their silicon-based solar panels. So that's the game. They're not. It's not about them becoming clean. It's about them cornering the Western market for clean energy so that they can force us into their hands yet again on one more thing. So, and Jennifer Granholm, the secretary who said what we just listened to, I mean, frankly, if there were a wall here, I'd be banging my head against it right now. It's
absurdity. Yeah.
It's the inversion of reality that this administration lives in.
Yeah.
It's really chilling to watch.
Yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly. I agree wholeheartedly. All right, we're going to hit top of the hour break. We'll take that break. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio, hour number three, coming up on the other side. And, David, I thank you so much. If you're able to stick around for a few minutes on the other side, we can talk about it in the break and see where you're at. But I really appreciate this. And folks, I just encourage you. These conversations, these topics, I read you an article on Nexus that I am going to get up on my website talking about the link between Dominion, Sequoia, Smartmatic, and the CCP. And that's becoming much more apparent now. It's hitting the news because of this failure of the SVB Bank and the relationship between Sequoia Capital and SVB. And I read to you what a friend of mine sent to me about Peter Thiel discovering that the SVB actually had a connection to Sequoia Capital, and Sequoia Capital had a connection to CCP, and Thiel pulled his money. And that started a domino effect. We'll get into all that coming up top of the next hour. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.